Sorry about that. Sorry.
No, it's all right.
YouTube's giving me problems.
Can't hear anything but my clock ticking.
Well, while there's just a brief silence here, I'll say something, this Major Edgecombe. I just want to thank Mr. Foley and Mr. Pasco for the nice introduction a couple of weeks ago in orientation. I really appreciate it. I went through my binder and it's nice. It was a good read. Thanks.
Oh, well, it was a pleasure to meet you, and I hope everybody else gets to do that sometime soon in person. It was good talking to Major Edgecombe, and I think he's going to be a great member of the commission.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Earth to Darcy.
Yeah, I'm trying to get YouTube to work, and it's giving me problems. I apologize.
YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube.
Okay.
I have the Brady Bunch song stuck in my head now.
Now sing it to us.
I'm thinking of Jeopardy right now.
That's how I feel right now.
Missing it? Or the Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, your box lights up when you talk, so it's interesting to watch the yellow box bounce around.
Well, I guess one thing I will mention, one of the things we had last time was when we were doing any motions, when we did a voice vote, everybody kind of talked at once and stepped on everybody. So for this one, we shouldn't have a lot of things that we need to vote on, but I'm going to do roll call votes. So whenever we get to it, I'll call your name, and if you can say yay or nay, and then we'll just do it that way, and it should be pretty quick, and nobody will step on anybody.
Yeah, we did clarify that there's no need for a motion to adjourn. The approvals are the agenda and the minutes. So those will take motions and seconds, but not the adjournment. So you could move to adjourn, but you don't need to.
Already.
Chair's discretion when to adjourn.
Ah, I got it to work. Okay. We're ready to go live. Sorry about that.
All right. Could you start us off with a roll call then, Darcy?
All right. So this is the meeting of the Airport Advisory Commission, October 2020. Brendan O'Meara.
Present.
John Foley.
Present.
Major Edgecombe.
Present.
Doug Brenheiser.
Present.
Kat Pence.
Here.
Ken Geddes.
Present.
Neil White.
Present.
All right. We'll move on to the next part of the agenda. It'll be approving the agenda. Has everybody had a chance to review the packet that Darcy distributed? All right. Could I have someone move to approve the agenda as distributed?
I would so move.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Yes, second.
All right. So we'll do the roll call vote. When I say your name, please say yay or nay to indicate your support for the motion. Doug Brenheiser?
Yay.
Major Edgecombe?
Yay.
Brendan Amara?
Yay.
Ken Geddes? Ken?
Yes.
Okay, is that a yay?
Yay.
Okay, thank you. Kat Pence?
Yay.
Neil White?
Yay.
And John Foley votes yay. So we have approved the agenda for this meeting. The next step will be to approve the minutes. Has everyone received and reviewed the minutes from the July 15th meeting?
Yes.
Are there any corrections or anything needed to be done to the amendment to the minutes? All right, seeing none, could someone move to approve the minutes as distributed?
Yes, I can do that. So motion.
All right, could I get a second for that?
A second.
All right, we'll go ahead with a roll call vote. Doug Brennerzer?
Yay.
Major Edgecombe?
Yay.
Brendan Amara?
Yay.
Ken Geddes?
Yay.
Kat Pence?
Yay.
Neil White?
Yay.
John Foley says yay. So minutes have been approved. So that should be the last of the voting that we need to do for this evening. The next part of our agenda is public comment. Because this is a virtual meeting, written comments from the public were requested beforehand, and I believe that we have not received any comments from the public. So we can just move on to the reports then. I don't see that Rob Broyhill is present, so I believe part of that, his report was in the materials distributed.
Mr. Chairman, I actually have, I don't think we distributed anything from Rob. He okay. did send me yesterday some notes to share with the commission. He's actually on shift tonight up in the tower, so he wasn't able to attend.
Oh, please go ahead and share that.
So I'm going to go ahead and just kind of read verbatim what he sent to me. 2020 traffic count, January through September, their total is 29,825. You may note that's a little bit higher number than I provided in my airport manager's report. That being because the tower actually counts overflights. That's traffic that they work through their airspace that doesn't land at the Salem Airport. So we only count operations that actually use the airport. Their busiest day was in May. They had 269 operations. Some mandatory occurrence reports. In the what he called the third quarter of 2020, that's the federal quarter. In-flight equipment malfunctions, they had on August 7th, Beach Bonanza reported gear issues. The aircraft flew a low approach so the tower crew could observe the landing gear. Tower personnel reported the gear appeared down and seated correctly, and the aircraft landed without incident. Aircraft rescue firefighting was dispatched as an alert 2. On August 20th, they had an experimental aircraft with a rough running engine, landed without incident, and aircraft rescue firefighting was dispatched as an alert 1. And on August 30th, a Cessna 152 also had a rough running engine, also landed without incident, and ARF was also dispatched as an alert 1. There were two vehicle pilot deviations. One on September 7th, we had a privately owned vehicle that entered a taxiway Kilo and Charlie from Lima, from the North Hangars, without approval. So they entered the movement area and then over to the ramp to take a picture of one of the firefighting helicopters. That report comes to me, and then I have to send information to the FAA. And then on September 20th, they had a Bell 206 helicopter that actually departed from the parking ramp without clearance from the tower. That's a pilot deviation. And then we had one accident on September 7th. We had a Cessna 172 landing runway 34. Had a gusty crosswind, veered off the runway into the grass area. Did destroy one of our taxiway signs. There were no injuries on the aircraft. We have since replaced that sign and billed the cost to the flying club in Washington State that owns that aircraft. Other than that, he just wanted to let you know that Christy Dahl up in the tower has been with us for several years. She retired on September 12th, lives over at the coast now, and they have since hired a gentleman named Donald Conrad, and his first day was October 13th, so just last week. and I believe he is still under training and hasn't been signed off yet, and I think that's why Rob has to work extra shifts. So one controller retired and a new person on staff. For those of you that, that fly, you'll get to know the new controller. And that's all Rob shared with me in the Tower Report.
All right. Thank you for that. Any questions for John regarding the Tower Report? All right. The other report we have, which was distributed with the minutes and the agenda, is the airport manager's report. Has everybody had a chance to review that? And were there any questions with what was distributed?
Yeah, I have one question, Brendan O'Meara.
Sure, go ahead, Brendan.
Oh, it's indirectly related to the airport manager's report that was written, but I wanted to inquire, and I'm hoping that this is the right time, given it's the end of the airport manager's report, about the spent bullet that was found on our ramp. Just to clarify to anybody else, there was a something around, and I didn't see it personally, but something like a 9mm round that was found on our ramp about 5 feet out from our building. And so some of our tenants and some of the other people in the north end are starting to ask me for answers on that. So I wanted to just ask the airport manager a couple questions on it. One, what was it reported to local police, or was it reported elsewhere? And number two, what did they have to say about it?
If it's the one I'm thinking of, Brendan, Bob Hidley did bring one over to me, and I don't know if that's the same one or a different one. I hope it's the same one. I only had one report.
I'm only aware of the one, and I think the concern was at this time, instead of it being a shell, just a casing from a spent casing, it was actually the projectile itself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Bob gave to us, and it was unspent. I mean, it was out of its case, you're right, but it didn't look like it had impacted anything. It was just lying on the ground. We put that in our FOD box. We did not report that to the City of Salem Police Department, because there's no criminal activity that can be associated with it. So it's something that we just make note of. We had for a while on the north end, when Doug had his hangar down there, we had found quite a few, mostly spent, you know, casings, but we haven't had any of those in well over a year. So that's just kind of an anomaly. I don't have a good answer for it. We did check with our wildlife folks. They do not use that type. I think you're right. I think it was a 9mm. So I don't have a good answer for you as to where it came from, or you know, how it ended up there. The only thing I can assume is it's personally owned by somebody, but how it ended up outside of its shell casing, I don't know.
According to Bob, it had been fired. There were rifle marks on the slug itself,
yeah.
And Bob indicated that it was blunted, as though it had ricocheted. Can you comment on that?
I'd have to, you're right, I do remember seeing it. There were rifling marks on it. I don't remember it being blunted. It may have been a little bit on one side. I don't specifically remember. I could look and see, but if it was, then obviously it was something that was fired and had made its way onto the airfield. So whether it was fired on the airfield or from off the airfield and just made its way over here, I can't answer that. There's just no way for us to know. But it's one of those things when we have these anomalies that if there's, you know, once has happened, stance, twice a coincidence, you know, third time's an act of war sort of thing. So, you know, we'll keep our eyes out and our ears out, but I just don't have a good answer for where that came from or who it belongs to. And I guess, Brendan, I didn't know where it came from. I guess I assumed since Bob brought it in that it was down by his hangar, but you're saying it was outside. You're saying your hangar on the north end, not your other hangar?
That's correct. On our rental hangars on the north end, supposedly it was 5 feet out from the building, which is, I think, what starts to get, you know, obviously our tenants and even our concern of just if people are taking pot shots at the building. I, of course, realize there's no way to know where it came from,
right,
but curious if action had been taken so that I can share that detail.
Yeah, I have not. Again, there's without any, you know, criminal activity to report, the police department isn't going to be interested in it. So we've got it here. It's not going anywhere. Got it is, I guess, for lack of a better word, evidence. At this point, it's odd. But it is obviously something of interest, because anything that's firearms related on the airport, we like to know about. I don't know. I assume that you've checked your building for any damage or ricochet marks or anything like that?
Yeah, there's no obvious signs. And again, since we didn't even see the bullet, we weren't able to check it for paint. And, sure. And even if it did ricochet, you know, what are we going to do about it? Exactly.
Right, that's the thing. I've got it here. If you're interested in coming to see it, by all means, swing on by. We've got it in our operations office.
I think, I think one of the reasons that Bob probably sent it to you is this is probably the first evidence of something that probably wasn't the wildlife people. I mean, you classified the other ones before pretty quickly, and they actually acknowledged that it was probably theirs. This one,
right.
This is not a hunting round at all. So I think that's why Bob was concerned enough to bring it to you and also to Brendan's attention.
Right. Yep. Yep, and that should always be the case. I mean, anything like that that's found on an airport, that's an anomaly. You know, if we can't identify it or try to find a source, we'll definitely do that. You know, those kind of things obviously concern us too. But like you said, Brendan, there's no way to know if it's something that, you know, somebody shot driving by the airport or just, you know, somebody on the airport, or there's just no way to know. So, but if we find a second one, you know, then there's probably more questions that need to be asked. But I don't know. And I guess, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I suppose it wouldn't, I just don't know if, you know, the detectives are going to take that, and I don't know that they can do ballistics check. I don't know how that stuff works. I suppose it's a question I can ask the police department. If we were to find a bullet on property, do they have any way of trying to figure out what gun it came from? I don't know enough about forensics other than what I've seen on TV to determine what they can do or what they would do, given that nobody was hurt or no property was damaged. That's typically the response we get from the police department, is if there's no criminal activity, there's nothing they can do or they will do. But I can certainly ask that question if you'd like.
Were there any other questions with respect to the airport manager's report?
Just a comment, John.
Yes, sir.
To John Pascal. Wanted to thank the airport. There was a 6-foot hole cut in the fence behind my hangar, and the response was immediate, and the fence was temporarily closed moments after I had identified the cut fence and then repaired by a contractor, I assume, so it's like new again. So thank you, John.
Yep, yeah, and then we thinned out the trees back there too, Neil, so that it's not quite as hidden a place to come through the fence. That's there's been more than one of those this summer, so it's another problem we're trying to solve without really any kind of a solution. Interestingly, and in your response was one of several, we haven't had any evidence of any additional hangar break-ins since the one we had back, I don't want to say it was June or July. So I don't know what somebody's out here doing at nighttime, why they're wanting to try and get in the airport and not take anything. But again, we make those reports to the police department. They log them. They tell us they'll increase patrols out this way, but there's just, you know, there's just very little we can do about it. I don't know, you know, we've got 6.5 miles of fence, the perimeter of this airport. It's a lot of property, and it's a lot of corners and hidden areas and things. And so we've stepped up our inspections of the fences, the fence lines, but we haven't had any criminal activity other than that. And in your case, Neil, the one behind your hangar, the person that actually cut the fence left the clippers behind.
Right.
Hanging in the tree. So we have those, but there's no way to get fingerprints off of them or anything. So I think they were damaged enough that they were not worth keeping anymore. So somebody abandoned them in place. So things that frustrate me, but we haven't really come up with a good solution on
how to. Yeah. Well, I can understand behind my hangar, because inside I keep that high performance 150.
Right. Yeah, so I'm thankful that there hasn't been any additional criminal activity, but you know, when I see these kind of random things, the bullet we just talked about, you know, a couple of fence cuts, you know, I don't know if those are related, but it worries me, and it makes me suspicious. And I can talk to the police department. There's only so much they can do and stepping up patrol. So I've reached out to a lot of the tenants, and same thing as before, as much as we can do visual on-site deterrence. And I know at nighttime there's not a lot of activity out here. We don't have camera systems. They certainly wouldn't cover 6.5 miles of fence. But we are still trying to talk about coming up with solutions, and I've reached out to some of my colleagues at other airports to see if they've had similar issues and what some of their thought processes were on trying to figure out how to solve those types of things. But you're welcome.
Okay, are there any other questions?
And Mr. Chairman, I would say, and I did mention in my report, but just so it doesn't get buried in there, I did mention in the July meeting that I had expected to have an economic development presentation this meeting, but again, that got pushed by City Council till February, so now I expect that we'll do that in January. I have a couple of consultant meetings coming up to try and shape how that's going to look and what kind of presentation materials we're going to provide, so I expect that we'll have that in the January AAC meeting in advance of a February City Council workshop. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that that doesn't get pushed again. Obviously, the City Council has been really busy this year. And then there are, I think, three or maybe even four new City Councilors coming on board. So we want to make sure that we're addressing the newest audience.
Okay. I did have a question with that, with respect to that. Do we think that there'll be any commission input or action required prior to that meeting? Is there anything we'll be needing to review?
I don't think so, John. It'll just be a presentation, similar, if not identical, to what we'll present to the City Council. Because it's a workshop only, it's information only, there won't be any action items on the part of the City Council, so there'll be nothing for the AAC to recommend or not recommend to them. It'll just be an airport 101 for many of the newer counselors. I think now we might be at a point where maybe only Mayor Bennett has been on the council long enough to kind of have any sort of working knowledge of the airport and economic development. So I think a lot of it will be learning curve type of stuff, and that's going to be all wrapped up with larger urban renewal area efforts. Some of the ideas are moving some of the URA boundaries to take advantage of some of that funding to spend on the airport. So there's kind of complimentary discussions there. So you'll hear essentially what they're going to hear. And then I think going forward, like I mentioned last month, if we get into an FAA master plan update, things like that, then there will be Airport Advisory Commission input and eventually recommendation for the council to adopt.
Okay. I did notice one thing in your report. It looked like you had your operations listed.
Yes.
Totally into the minutia, so I apologize.
Yes, no, I
looking a lot of at the deltas for January 2020, and that change looks like an incorrect number. It looked like it should be down 1,473 operations, not 758. I don't know if that's official or any, you know, if we use that for anything or if that's just information only.
Well, it was information for you. I guess I'm not. Say those numbers again for me. Maybe I just did my math incorrectly.
So in January 2019, the total operations were 3,553. In January 2020, it has 2,080, and it shows a delta of minus 758, but those numbers don't pencil.
What is January in here? This is only, I only have information from July and August. I'm not seeing where you're seeing January.
Oh, this would be...
That's information from the tower.
Of your report, you have two tables of operations.
That's information from the tower.
Yeah, that's not part of my report. That's part of the packet.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah.
That's sorry, John. Let me pull that up. That is actually a summary that the tower sends over to us. It's a summary of the, you can see it has IFR ops and overflights and some of that. Those are tower numbers. They're not the same numbers that we share. This actually probably isn't a useful document to share with the AAC, although it does count all the operations, including the overflights. So you're right. The math could be incorrect. And these are all Rob's numbers that he sends over to us. Inside his emails is a whole other document where I get my operations counts from. So I see what you're referring to now.
Okay. Yeah. And that was just, like I said, it was in the minutia. let's see. Were there any other questions with respect to the airport manager report? Seeing none, then we can move on to the next agenda item, which is action items. I am not aware of anything that was presented to the commission prior to the meeting, so there aren't any action items for us to cover this evening. So we can move on to items for commission discussion. And I guess, I don't know, Neil, if there's any updates on emergency preparedness that you wanted to share or?
Yes. One of the things that we're obviously concerned with is the fuel supply after a major natural disaster such as Cascadia. And so the Salem Airport Emergency Procedure Preparedness Committee is addressing the issue by the issue of refueling aircraft, since Salem is a forward staging area deemed by FEMA. We've reached out to a refinery in Montana that could supply fuel via semi-trucks, because the normal fuel supply, they'll be coming via pipeline out of Kinder Morgan, for example, which supplies most of our 100 low lead, will be most likely interrupted. So we'll need to have some other means of getting 100 low lead to airplanes, because once FEMA brings in emergency supplies and personnel, then it's going to be up to general aviation to disperse it out to the smaller communities. So we reached out to Deanna Henry from the Oregon Department of Energy and Bill Martin from OEM, Office of Emergency Management, to reach out to City Services Valcon, which is that refinery in Montana, to establish an agreement for fuel shipment after Cascadia. The other thing is that the Oregon Pilots Association continues to recruit pilots to fly disaster relief missions after Cascadia or any other disaster. We've got a spreadsheet identifying the pilots, aircraft, and contact information, and that is maintained by OEM. Kind of another side note to that, but it definitely kind of underscores the importance of the airport here in Salem and general aviation airports in total in the state. In September, Oregon wildfires created a need for N95 masks for the first responders, firefighters, etc. So working with DART and FEMA, we had 20 airplanes from California bring in $150,000 worth of medical supplies, including 100,000 N95 masks for the firefighters in Oregon. And this just kind of further demonstrates the value of general aviation in a time-critical emergency. So that's kind of where we're at for October for the Emergency Preparedness Committee.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I was curious to see if what sort of airport involvement we had with respect to the wildfires, since being so close. I know Major Edgecombe was heavily involved with some of the.
Yes. Yes.
Any other items that folks wanted to discuss with the commission? All right, seeing as there is none, I'd like to remind folks that our next commission meeting is in January, and we'll be nominating and electing the chair and vice chair positions again. So if you are interested or have ideas for who to nominate for those, please be thinking about that and be prepared to have that discussion in January. Moving on to the chair's report, I don't have anything special to discuss. Unless there's anything we need to cover, I'd like to adjourn the meeting for this evening.
Is the chairman interested in being the chair again for next year?
I am happy to serve in that capacity, but I am also happy to allow someone else the pleasure of the position. So if there are some folks out there who would like to take my job, please feel free to get nominated at the next meeting.
We'll also have a vice chair election as well.
Yeah, we have both those are the two positions we have identified as officers of the commission. So.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, that was my alarm. Doug, would you be interested in being renominated a vice chair?
I'd be happy to do it, Neil, or if someone else is interested. As the same with John, if there's other people with interest, then I'm happy to share the wealth.
I'm happy to throw my hat in the ring for either.
All right.
Pretty good. And Mr. Chairman, I would remind everyone, but sometimes we'll forget this in October, but since we won't reconvene until January, I always like to wish everyone happy holidays and, and all of that, and happy new year, and we'll see you in January. And of course, you all know where I am if you need anything between now and then.
Yep. Yep. Hope everybody stays safe and healthy, and hopefully we're able to enjoy some time with family over the holidays. All right. Well, then, that being done, let's adjourn the meeting.
All right.